Ladies and gentlemen, can we have everybody sit down, please, and we'll get started.
No, you can stand back here.
Or sit up, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
How are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming. The Community Cultural Affairs Commission would like to thank you all for coming. This is an event that will, I think, go down in history for Desert Hot Springs. My name is George Fisher. I'm chairman of the Community Cultural Affairs Commission, and I'd like to first make some introductions, if you wouldn't mind. We have some other members of our commission. Ms. Dot Reed back there with our refreshments.
Yay, Dot, our official cook.
And we have two of our commissioners, Dr. Brian McDaniel and Joe McGee. And I'd also like to introduce the mayor, Ms. Yvonne Parks. And also Councilwoman Jan Pye. City Manager Rick Daniels. And did I miss anybody else? Chief Kate Singer, Police Department.
Colonel Lukey.
Colonel Lukey from our ROTC program here at Desert Hot Springs High School. And one thing before we get started, too, I just want to let you know we have a silent auction that tonight is the last night. For Memorial Day on May 27th, we're having a flyover on the C-47 from Palm Springs Air Museum. There's 5 seats available. If anybody would like to bid on those seats, we have the auction back there, and that we'll do in a flyover on May 27th for Memorial Day. So without further ado, what I would like to do at this time before we unveil the memorial, I'd like to introduce, first of all, the two builders that built this for our community, Dave Woodall and James Stephenson, who built this memorial. I'd like to introduce Dar Sandberg, who actually painted this whole memorial that you'll see. And I'd like to introduce Mr. Bill Cook. This was his idea, brought this dream and idea to me a year ago and said, let's do this. And I would like to have him come up and explain what the memorial is all about.
Bravo.
George, you got a couple of kids, elementary kids, that are learning.
Okay, good. Okay. Like George said, this was started about a year and a half ago. A lot of phone calls back and forth between George and I and Dot and George, and a lot of tears shed and a lot of hassles. And when I presented it to James and David, I gave them a picture of it, and they said, go back in the house. And they talked about it, and I came back out, and they said, yeah, we can do it. And then it started. And we got donations from people in the city that helped out a great deal. And we wanted to make it look almost exactly like the tomb in Arlington. And when you see it, I think you'll be very impressed. Some of the things about it, carved on the east side, or the front of the tomb, which the way it's faced now, around the other side is a composite of 3 figures commemorative of the spirits of the Allies of World War I. In the center is Victory, which is the female. On the right side is a male figure that symbolizes valor. And on the other side is Peace. And Victory has a palm branch in her hand, rewarding the devotion and sacrifice that went with this cause to make it a righteous triumph. The north and south sides are divided into 3 panels or Doric pilasters And in each panel is an inverted wreath. And there are a total of 6 wreaths carved in the north side and the south side of the tomb. And those represent the 6 major battles in World War I. And Francois is a good friend of mine, and her mother is French. I'm going to butcher this, so please forgive me. They were the battles of Chateau Thierry. Wait, I'm not done. The Ardennes, Issou, Messeux-Argonne, Bellewood, and Sommet. I didn't butcher too bad then. And on the front side of the side that you'll see to begin with is carved, "Here rest in honored glory an American soldier known but to God."
There we go.
Nope, I'm okay. I'm okay. But your turn's coming. The soldiers that walk the mat, it's a 24/7. And they take 21 steps. They turn and face the tomb for 21 seconds. And then they go another 21 steps. And they do that 24/7. 365 days out of the year. They are very dedicated. And we happen to have one of the tomb guards here today. Where is he at? He's back here. So he's read it in the paper this morning, and I'm grateful for that, because he's going to critique us. So without further ado, George?
At this time, what we're going to do, we're going to play a short video. It's 4 minutes and 18 seconds. What I'd like everybody to do at the last part of the video, it's going to play the taps, and I'd like to have everybody stand at that time, and at that time we will have the unveiling. And then after the unveiling, Dar Sandberg will come up and talk about the art himself and how he painted it. So at this time, Eloisa, would you please?
On this Memorial Day weekend, America pauses to remember those who died serving our nation. At Arlington National Cemetery, honoring our fallen heroes is the full-time job of our Power Player of the Week.
To me, I think it's a privilege to have the honor to be able to guard the unknowns, because that's something that I can give back to my country.
Army Staff Sergeant Alfred Lanier is one of the leaders of the Honor Guard at the Tomb of the Unknowns. If he seems soft-spoken, just watch him do his job.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? In keeping with the dignity of this ceremony, it is requested that everyone remain silent and standing.
24 hours a day, 365 days a year, a platoon of 30 guards the tomb, honoring unidentified soldiers from the First and Second World Wars and Korea. The ceremony is simple, yet powerful. A relief commander, like Lanier, changes the guard. Then a single sentinel keeps vigil. He walks 21 steps, pauses 21 seconds, and walks back. 21, as in a 21-gun salute, is the military's highest honor.
Once you step on the plaza, you count every step you take. Every second is a count, so you have to be precise about it. You can almost go outside and change the guard blindfold after you do it so many times.
Guards walk their post for an hour in winter, for a half hour in the blistering heat. What are you wearing in the dead of summer?
100% wool.
How hot does that get?
Yeah, pretty hot.
Do you ever think to yourself, why are we going through all this trouble?
Not really. We're going to give them the best that we can, and that's what we're doing.
They're just as meticulous behind the scenes. Guards pull a 27-hour shift, walking their post a dozen times, then get ready to do it all over again. They steam their jackets, then put back every piece of brass precisely measured. Just shining their shoes takes 4 hours.
You shine it up from the base with kiwi and water. Everything from the sole all the way up, you shine it up.
Lanier, who's been a guard more than 4 years, prides himself on their dedication. In September 2003, with Hurricane Isabel bearing down on Washington, Lanier was told he could take shelter.
Did you leave your post?
No, sir.
Wasn't the wind whipping there around at 60-plus miles an hour?
Two trees fell on the north and the south end of the plaza, but they did not endanger my life or the life of the circles that was there.
Lanier says Memorial Day is always a special time to stand guard.
While you're on post, the veterans be talking to you, telling you thank you for what you're doing, because they lost a lot of friends in those major campaigns that we had.
The tombs have been guarded every minute of every day since 1937. How long do you think this will go on?
The tomb will be guarded. The unknowns will be guarded. There will be a vigil pulled until we can identify each remains.
And if that goes on forever?
There will be guards out there forever.
4 million people a year watch the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknowns. If you haven't been there, be sure to include it on your next trip to Washington. And that's it for us. Have a great holiday. We'll see you next Fox News Sunday. But as we say goodbye, a special heartfelt thank you to those who have given their lives for our country.
Please stand. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to bring up the artist who did this work, Dar Sandberg.
I'm back to follow.
Here.
There it is. It has been an amazing experience for me personally. I've been working on this over the course of last summer and fall, and while our country has been fighting with itself over who to put in the White House, I've been sitting in front of this memorial to people who gave absolutely everything that one can possibly give for the ideals that we defend as much as we fight over. So for me, this has been quite an honor and an amazing experience. I'm supposed to talk to you about the process, and I don't want to get too technical. Basically, what we did was use paint to recreate the illusion of depth and light, and using standard techniques developed by the old masters hundreds of years ago. Once I painted everything in black and white, went back over it to create the marble texture using about 8 layers of translucent paints, many hours just in that, and then came back and fine-tuned everything to create this illusion. My favorite side is on the other side, so when we're all done, I'm going to drag you all up to see the other side, because the original artist really created a great sense of the universalness of what we struggle for, when any people struggles for liberty, to end injustice, in very simple 3 figures, and so I want you to be sure and see that. So, do you have any questions about how this was created? No questions. That's great, because then I don't have to worry about being too technical.
The base is wood?
Yes. Basically, James and Dave built the structure itself out of wood, and I don't know how many hours that took you, because it sort of was done in bits and pieces. And then they primered it. We used all the finest quality materials that were donated for us, so this should last a very long time. They primered it. I came in. I did, as I said, what we call sort of an underpainting. So I painted the shadows and the highlights. Then we went back and created the marble texture on all of it all at once so that it would look unified. Did deliberately make the top slightly different because the top is made from a separate piece of marble than the cenotaph itself. And so we wanted to be as true as we could to the whole thing. And then now, after the unveiling, we're going to take it back. It'll get a couple of coats of a very high-quality polyurethane to seal it. We wanted to give the paint finish as enough time to cure as possible. And now then we'll seal it. This should last a good 50 years. I'm sorry, I've changed the direction, too. And then it is designed to be taken apart and assembled so we can store it and then haul it out to the high schools. It'll come out for Veterans Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July. If there's some special event someone else wants to use it for, we can take it out there. And we've made arrangements for it to be treated with the appropriate respect. Our ROTC, correct, is actually trained to do the walk.
I have one more question.
Sure.
About the size.
Mm-hmm.
Is it compared to the original tomb, the size?
Very close to scale. Mm-hmm. Since we were working with donated materials, we didn't have quite the room to say, okay, it's got to be exactly 4 feet, 2 inches. We rounded down to 4 feet. Mm-hmm. So there was a little bit of rounding, but we kept the scale as true as we could. And actually came very close. I discovered when it came time to enlarge the imagery onto the panels that the fit was quite perfect. So this very, very close to the original scale, just slightly smaller. Yes?
What's the weight?
Good question.
Too much.
How many people can carry this where it breaks apart?
It takes takes 2 to 4 people generally to move it.
The bottom takes at least 2 people to haul it around. The sides can do 1 person.
Yeah.
So it breaks down?
Yes.
6 pieces.
Yeah, there's the top and bottom are each separate pieces, and each of the 4 sides are separate. And so we can take it apart.
It looks like it's just one big piece.
How can you do it?
That was, the marbling really did it. We assembled everything but the top and then marbleized it so that the paint finish would completely wrap around and it would look as close to one piece as possible. And then Dot is making for us some nice fabric sleeves to protect each piece so that when they're in storage, they can't get scuffed or damaged. Because
they're inside.
Excellent, excellent.
She's made them already.
Already.
Let me just add a few things.
One other thing, too. Until we find a permanent place here in Desert Hot Springs, we're working with Palm Springs Air Museum to put it in their air museum on a more or less temporary, permanent basis till we can find something here in Desert Hot Springs where we can have it permanently placed. And then, like Dar was saying, at different activities and different events, we can take it apart. We can take it to schools, do school programs, explain what it's all about. And so with that, what I'd like to do now, though, I'd like to invite Kevin, I'm sorry, I don't remember your last name. I'd like to have Kevin come up and just talk just a quick few minutes regarding the tomb in Washington, D.C., if you would, Kevin.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sir, thank you. Obviously, I apologize for being in this uniform. I am out of the service. I'm a retired sergeant major. I had the honor of being a first relief commander and assistant sergeant of the guard during my tour at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier during the time frame when the Vietnam Unknown Soldier was disinterred. So from what I see, it looks beautiful. You're very, very well detailed. To be congratulated, it looks nice. I also find that the other side is the favorite side when I was out there guarding it. because of the relief and the detail and the time and effort that went into the three figures. And I'm sure you'll be very impressed when you see the other side. The Sentinels that serve at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier have a long history and a unique bond. In fact, this weekend, because I live in Oregon, I'm down here for a course. I put the feelers out, and there's three tomb guards, one coming from LA, one coming from San Diego. We're going to meet somewhere. I've never met them before, but we'll each instantly have that bond. Having served maybe on different reliefs during different times, but we have the same drive, same mission, same desire. And just because we leave the military and no longer have the privilege to stand on the plaza and guard the unknown soldiers, it's always in our heart. And it's Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and a lot of the other different holidays that come up, we're constantly thinking about the families that don't have anyone, any grave that they can go to pay their respects, especially the veterans during those time frames that the tomb and the crypts represent. And it's nice to be able to provide them a little peace of mind, knowing that their loved one may be buried there. It definitely represents their loved one if they never came home. And we have the guard. And their rest is eternal, will never be violated. And we will watch it at all times, 24/7, regardless of the weather. We will make sure that their honor remains protected. So I didn't want to go on too long because I could talk for hours about the tomb, but thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Project Fallen Hero. That's what we've been working on. So, I'm sorry.
I have one more question.
Sure.
Is there a protocol, I wanted to ask him, but is there a protocol that you're going to have to follow when you unveil this, put it together, and unveil it at each stop?
What the plans are right now and what we will be doing at Memorial Day as we unveil it, we're going to have our own Marine Junior ROTC. We'll be guarding it when it's set up at the Veterans Park. So that's the plan so far. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, we'd like to do it exactly like they do it in Washington, D.C., believe me. It's just that you have to have somebody guarding it all the time. And so that's the whole premise of this, is to have it guarded. So we will find ways to do this down the road. This is just the beginning, so we're starting out, so we're learning. Yeah. So what we're going to do now, ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our unveiling, and if you have any questions with our builders or with artist Dar Sandberg or myself or with Bill, please don't hesitate. We'll be glad to answer the questions. We have refreshments, thanks to Dot Reed, and if you come out May 27th, you'll get Dot Reed brownies on 27. Everybody likes brownies by Dot Reed. So anyway, thank you for coming. I really appreciate it, and thank you again.
Did Rick want to say something?